Top headlines.
Bruins over the Maple Leafs 3-1 last night in Toronto. They're up 3-1 in their best of seven. Here's Brad Marchand talking about the assist from David Pastrnak that resulted in a go-ahead goal for the Bruins in the second period last night.
No, he makes that play a lot. He's a phenomenal playmaker, and he makes a lot of plays when he's kind of looking you off. So he made a phenomenal play. I kind of figured that it'd be coming that way. He's done that a few times this year, so a phenomenal play by him.
Bruins can wrap things up tomorrow night. Puck drops 8 o'clock. Saturday night at the TD Garden. Celtics have a chance to go up 3-0 in Milwaukee tonight. John Henson is doubtful for the Bucks due to back soreness. We'll get the latest from Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell. We have a bit of a late one tonight. It's a 9:30 tip, so pregame 9 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Red Sox completed their sweep of the Angels in Anaheim with an 8-2 win last night. Tonight, the road trip continues as they start a three-game set against the A's in Oakland. Drew Pomerantz is the starting pitcher for the Red Sox, and longtime voice of the Patriots, Gil Santos, passed away yesterday on his 80th birthday. Play-by-play man for the team for 36 seasons and 744 games, inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame in 2013. Headlines are brought to you by Nairobi. At Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses, enjoy leather furniture for just $25 a month with next-day delivery from Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
From slam dunks.
Wow! And if you think a unicorn is rare.
Oh, my God.
To buzzer beaters.
Tice throws it down with two hands.
The home of the Boston Celtics. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Towards the tail back in the eye. The season probably riding on this play. First and goal to go at the Buffalo Bill 1 yard line. Bledsoe. Ducks under center. Awaiting the snap. First and goal in motion. Right to left is Purnell. Bledsoe. Play action fake. End zone. Touchdown! Ben Koch! The Patriots win! How about Drew Bledsoe? How about Drew Bledsoe? Takes the Patriots 82 yards. Wins on the game's final play. Drew Bledsoe does it again.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I tweeted that one out last night, which is my all-time favorite call of his. Because I was there and going home in the car and having the memory of how did it sound on the radio, putting it on as you drive away from the stadium and it being played over and over and over again. That is my personal favorite. When I was happy to find out that it's the personal favorite of other people that had tweeted me last night after I had sent that out. Because Zoe,
of all the plays, wow, okay.
Yeah, and I mean, game-winning play, last play of a game. I mean, what else could be better as a play-by-play announcer than to be calling a winning play when a team wins on the last play of the game? And obviously after that came winning a Super Bowl on the very last play of the game, which is what he said would be a highlight. If you win on the very last play, that very last play element to a call is very important. So I would say, I had met Gil a bunch of times and said hello to him every now and again when he'd be in and around the station. I didn't know him like you did, but I knew him like everybody else did, which is Sundays in the fall on the radio doing the Patriots games for almost my entire lifetime. At times when games were
blacked out.
And you couldn't even get the game on TV, you'd listen to Gil and Gino. And by the way, we haven't even mentioned Gino and all of this. I mean, those two guys are sort of synonymous with one another, right? I mean, it's not just Gil, it's Gil and Gino, right?
Yeah.
Gil and Gino together.
It's a combination.
That team aspect.
30 years, man.
Was, so incredible and so special that those guys did it together for so long. But he was the soundtrack of the Patriots, the voice of the Patriots. You hear his voice and that's what you instantly think of. And he's the only guy that I can ever remember. If you weren't turning down the TV to turn up the radio, like we talk about now, right? We always bitch and complain about the TV announcers and how They don't know what they're talking about.
They hate the Patriots.
They're speaking to the casual fan. They don't know what the hell is going on. We say, turn down the TV, turn up the radio. That went on for years with Gil and Gino. And I would say that even if you hadn't turned down your TV to turn up your radio, he's the only guy I can ever recall where you'd say something big just happened. If you had just watched Vinatieri make the kick in the snowball, if you had just watched Vinatieri kick the winning kick in the Super Bowl, you instantly wanted to know, how did it sound on the radio? And I don't know if anybody else, and you know what? I'm a little younger, on the younger end of things, so I don't know if that was true with Johnny Most. I don't know if that was true
with
Bob Wilson. And those guys, by the way, all three of those guys at one time were all employed by the same place, WBZAM.
That's amazing.
Which is incredible because those are legendary voices, and obviously Gil is one of those. But it's the only guy I can ever remember saying, how did it sound on the radio? What was the call? What was the call on the radio?
I remember running out of the locker room, and we used to have this old wooden horse up there in the old parking lot where the old pro shop was. It was a trailer, basically, you know, the old stadium. And we would tailgate down the bottom where all our cars would be. And I remember rushing to get in a car. If you played, and if you had a big game, you couldn't wait to hear the highlights on the radio. It means something to the players. It really did. Like, Jim played that cut. You never forget that. But when you're juiced, you're coming off a big game, you love sitting in traffic to what you're saying, listening to post game, and then rerunning the highlights. People will also remember Gil did the morning sports. Gil did the morning sports.
Why don't we go to the phones? We have someone who just called in. We did not expect this. We did not know this person was going to call in. We obviously offer our condolences to him and his entire family. It is the son of Gil Santos. Mark Santos joins us now.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike, Beal, and Scott. How are you doing? It's a very tough day, but, you know, I feel Gil would want this. As Scott knows, I've been at the Hall of Fame for about 10 years, and I gave a bunch of interviews yesterday, and I know my dad would want this. And fire away. Anything you want to ask me, any stories, I'll be more than happy to give you some time.
Now, first of all, Mark, you know how much your dad has meant not only to me, but, you know, to the station, to the broadcast, and to Patriots fans over the years. I mean, there's not a highlight that you won't hear years from now and still have the same type of meeting. But I'm so glad you called me and reminded me and gave me the update on your dad that I had the chance to talk to him about 2 weeks ago. And he sounded great, man. He went through that Eagles game with me. And he could still call games if he wanted to.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Scott. And I think, you know, as a lot of you know, my dad's health started to deteriorate after Super Bowl 46. The second loss to the Giants, within 3 weeks, they were reading him his last rites, and he bounced back. A lot of this was attributed to smoking. My dad smoked for 61 years. Unfiltered Camels, probably one of the worst cigarettes you could smoke, and it just caught up to him, Scott. And, you know, my dad was a tough guy. He bounced back, he bounced back, he bounced back. February the 15th, he had a fall at home. And he was never right after that. He was in the hospital for 3 weeks. You talked to him when he got home. He had a fall again this past Sunday. He celebrated his 80th birthday yesterday. My parents celebrated the 57th wedding anniversary yesterday. Jeez. And the stress from my mom hasn't been well. As you know, she's had muscular sclerosis since 1993, and she's trying to do a lot of things, and he just... he couldn't breathe yesterday. I wasn't there. My niece was there, and it just basically, you know, he couldn't fight anymore. He fought the good fight, and it's just a shame that on his 80th birthday and then their wedding anniversary, my parents' wedding anniversary, this tragedy of unspeakable terms happened. But you know, I think you speak for all the fans in New England, Beatle, everybody. My father was a fan first and foremost, whether it was the Patriots, the Celtics, BC basketball, PC basketball. My dad did it all. Penn State football, he was a fan. He always said he worked in the toy department of life. With all the bad news going on today in the world, you think about professional sports, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars to play a game, whether it's the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, soccer, the NHL, and my dad did that, and he fulfilled his dream of broadcasting for almost 60 years. And but above all anything else, my father's legacy will always be the voice of the New England Patriots, and I can take solace in that. And I'll never forget the day he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. You were there, Beetle was there, and when Jonathan inducted, introduced my father, and Mr. Kraft introduced Teddy, the Teddy and Gilwin at the same time in July of 2013, and Jonathan Kraft, right before he finished his speech, I'll never forget this, and he said, "Others may follow down the line, but there's only one voice of the Patriots, and that's Gil Santos." And I've had more people come up to me over the years and say, "Your dad was the Johnny Most of the Patriots," and that's the best compliment anybody can give him. And he was a tremendous guy, tremendous father, and he loved doing what he did, and he loved the Patriots. And you know, but you know, you, like I said, guys, fire away, ask anything you want.
Well, you know what? Before we let you go, Mark, you know, for a lot of people, football Sundays, growing up, watching it with their dad, you watched it with your dad and had, you know, one of the best seats in the house, being behind him for a lot of those games. What stands out to you? What's your best memory of being in that booth with your dad?
Well, I started going to games. I'm 54 now. I started going to games when I was 6 at the old Harvard Stadium. The best memories I have are the early days of Schaefer Stadium with Jim Plunkett and Randy Vataha and all the different cronies that would come into the press box to see my father, Billy Sullivan, Pat Sullivan, Will McDonough, all those sports writers, all those guys. I got to go to training camp in the early 70s. I was a ball kid in the 70s, and that's my greatest memory. And I'll tell you, Mark, this past year when we inducted Raymond Claiborne into the Hall of Fame, I can remember being in the party at the Cross Pavilion and introduced my girlfriend to a lot of older players from the 70s, and my dad wasn't able to attend because of his health, because of him being on the oxygen. But to have Sam Cunningham and John Hamm and Stanley Morgan and Grogan and Vataha and John Smith and all these guys, some of these guys I hadn't seen in years. Cunningham, I hadn't seen in like 30 years. You know, you sound just like your dad. You look just like him. How's he doing? That really means so much to me. And then obviously the teams of the millennium, the three Super Bowls, the Kraft family has been tremendous to my family, tremendous to Gil. But the memories of the early days of the 70s, those memories I'll always cherish, because those teams weren't good. But there's a reason why the Patriots have a Hall of Fame. It's not because of so much the great teams they had. They had some terrible teams, but they had a lot of great players that were great guys. And my father just loved being around the camaraderie, whether it was with Scott, Gino. He just loved it. He just loved it, and it was his life.
All right, Mark. Obviously, the best to your mom, and I'll be in touch here quite soon. But loved your dad, loved working with him, and just a true pro. But more importantly, as I stated last night, as good a broadcaster he was a better man, a better person, a better father.
Off, I appreciate that
out
very
of the
much,
booth.
Guys.
All right, Mark,
thank
take
you,
care in this
you,
tough time.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thanks
you.
For calling.
All right, Mark. Mark Santos, son of Gil Santos, joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand. We've got phone lines filled up. A lot of people want to share their memories of Gil Santos, and we welcome that. We will get to that next.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
/11:20 here on Zolak and Bertrand. Before we get to the calls, want to thank Mark Santos again for checking in. Zoe, you're going to tell us the two
quick cardinal rules
that Gil told you to do as a broadcaster.
Yeah.
So get to those. Go ahead.
Okay, as you know, at times I do have a mouth like a sailor.
As do we all.
And I'll let him fly, as did Gil. But he was very good at his delivery and controlling them and burying them quickly. He said, "You're going to be doing this for a long time. See that thing in front of you, son?" I said, "Yeah, I'm looking. A microphone, right here. This microphone. No matter how long you do this, and I know you do radio, and I've done radio. I know you've done radio. The WBC newsroom, right? We know that." And he said, "I'm going to tell you one thing. Never, ever, ever trust a microphone. There's always an open mic somewhere. So you might not think they're listening, but they're probably listening. Watch your mouth. Watch your language. I said, well, I got Jim. Jim, you heard it down the line, didn't you?
That was some of my favorite stuff from Gil, was during the commercials when him and Zoe were talking to each other. It's great.
Lessons with Gil.
And then Zoe would inevitably, 5 minutes later, drop an F-bomb, and Gil would be like, what are you doing?
I told you! And he'd scream, but not online. Not on air. Not during the game. But he's like, gee, I told you. The mouth. And he said another thing, too. This ain't rocket science. Okay? We're calling football games. This is fun. And don't F it up. But right before my first one, and then my hands started sweating. I'm like, oh, God, and that's exactly what I told Sosie before he started. So what Gil told me and taught me, I passed it on to Bob.
Like that? Go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say, he was so old school, but in the booth, like, he wouldn't listen. Like, if for those who don't know, like, you Zoe and Bob, like, they hear the commercials in their headsets when they're in commercial.
Yeah.
He wouldn't want any of that. He just would have silence. And then Capello would tap him when he's going back on. Like, okay, I'm back on.
Put his headset back
on. Like, so Zoe, they would be talking, but we couldn't talk back to them. We could only talk to Capello, the producer, and they would go back. And now, like, it was a different era of broadcasting.
Yes.
That, and you want to talk about his typewriter, too, his famous typewriter.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So when I started doing pre and post, and Bob Lobel, you know, came to me back in 2000, 2001 with, you know, Patriots game day and pre and post in fifth quarter. And I'm still doing it to this day, thank God. But to get to the studio, we used to have to go in the studio to do the pre and the post, which was crazy, driving in and out. You would pass by Gil at a little cubicle. It was the last cubicle in the WBZ old school newsroom. Like, it's like when we went down to Houston, you know, and you're down there at NASA and you see the control room. Like, that Gil would run that whole newsroom, and he would have the best spot, but he had a typewriter. And I'm not talking about a electric typewriter. The one with the little round, you know, keys that you would press, and that hand would fly up and stamp it. But there used to be, remember, there was electric ones.
Yeah, typewriter.
So
where you would hit a button, and the arm would
manual
swing.
Manual typewriter.
You realize there are kids, right, or people that have no clue what a typewriter is.
This is the story.
So when he retired from BZ, he still continued to do the games. So he was dumped the newsroom, and I went back and the typewriter was gone. I saw him at one of the games. I said, what'd you do with that typewriter? And he said, oh, it sits on a table next to my Lazy Boy chair that I watch TV with, and I put it right there, and it's an old relic. And he said, I'll tell you this, Scott. The grandkids come around and go, Grandpapa or Papa, what is that? And he said, it would make me laugh every time because kids today have no clue what a typewriter was. He goes, that's what I used to work on. That was my work.
But he used that thing right up until the very end. He was old school. He had no use for your computers.
Well, I took
Give me a typewriter.
I took a piece of paper, too, and put it in there, and I'm like, he always had that raised E. I'm like, can't get it on level. Fatal Attraction.
617-779-0985.
Here we go.
Louis in Stoneham. Louis, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make mention of the fact, Gil Santos, I grew up with him doing the Celtics back in the 80s. And whenever I hear his voice, I just have this picture of Kevin McHale on Gil Santos' birthday going up behind him and messing and screwing with him. And it was the greatest thing. And every time I hear his name or his voice, I just picture Kevin McHale going up behind him and screwing with him, and it was the greatest thing. So let's not forget that he did do, yeah, he's known for football, but I know him from his basketball days, and it's the greatest thing. Thank
you,
guys.
Okay.
All right, appreciate it.
I was old enough to remember that being around. Him and Kuzi were awesome together as a kid.
We were talking to somebody this morning. Zoe and I were talking to someone who said, you think Gil was good on Patriots games? You think Gil and Gino was legendary? You should have heard him with Kuzi on the Celtics games. It was
Gil
incredible.
Bob Kuzi. Unreal. He told me one more story, too. You know, like when we travel with all the equipment, and it's such a bitch to set up all the equipment. Yeah. Like when you're in a visiting stadium at home, it's not so tough because you keep your equipment there. They had issues with equipment at one game in New Orleans. And he goes, we get in there, and it's right up to game time, and we're not getting on air. So they handed him a rotary phone, and he called the entire game on a rotary phone, handheld rotary phone. Like, how do you do that? How do you do it on an iPad, no computer? Dude, this is all with no iPads, no computers. Sosie, and I heard Bob call Toucher and Rich, and outstanding. He did that from Guatemala today. He was boarding a plane. But you see how Bob prepares. He's got two iPads. He's got a stat guy. you know, we get the stats coming in, all of his hit charts. Gil basically would have a manila envelope with a couple notes on it, binoculars, pack of cigarettes, and that's the game. That's all he needed. It's what Jim said. He would never listen during the breaks. He went, nope.
Don't need that.
But you know what's great about him, though? He was almost doing color while he was doing play-by-play. He knew, like, before even, like, talk radio was a big thing, like, he knew, like, what the big storylines were going to be. And, like, that one of the best
Pittsburgh
plays.
One.
Fourth
the,
and
the
two.
Start, Pittsburgh, yes. The intro to the Pittsburgh game in 2001,
Jim.
Well, January
so
of 2002.
Jim, you've got to pull up the fourth and two in Indy.
He was
never,
money.
I'll never
money.
Forget sitting there. I was in my car outside CBS scene. Waiting to go in to do the post game. And I remember sitting in my truck outside that movie theater right there by the showcase. And he made this call on fourth and two. And he referred to sports radio back home after the call.
Well, he did not call the game in a vacuum like so many play-by-play guys do. He had his finger on the pulse of what was going on with the team.
Yeah,
what people were thinking.
He just didn't call fourth and two. He knew this is.
He told you the story. He told you the story. That went along with whatever it was that was happening. Is what he did.
Yeah.
A true storyteller. That intro to the Pittsburgh one.
Talking smack in it.
Shocker, they're showing
up. That they showed
boys.
Up for the game. Yep. That they had shown up for the game.
You don't show up to a knife fight with a spoon.
Rocco's in the car today. Rocco.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So I'm 40, and, you know, up until when I started paying attention to sports, up until 01, you know, it was nothing but disappointment in Loserville. And going through the playoffs that year before that Super Bowl, all my friends and everybody, we were watching every game waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I remember thinking, as Gil is setting up that kick before Vinatieri kicked it, and his matter-of-fact tone, it felt like he was waiting for that other shoe to drop, like all the disappointment and everything. And then when he made that call, it was like all the years of losing and the fan and the joy and the just, it all came out. And I mean, I remember, you know, my buddies and I were hugging and, you know, and I could see him and Gino were doing the same thing in the booth. And so, you know, that'll always stand out for me. You know, in thinking about him, and really quick, if I can, about the Bruins.
Sure. Go for it.
I feel a long run coming. Resilient, tough. They know how to bounce back. They got weapons up and down all four lines. But the only thing that gives me pause is Rask. I know he did a great job.
I mean,
job
is today the day for that, man. Rocco? Is today really the day? I'm hanging up on Rocco. Great call. Great call. All seriousness, excellent call. Today is not the day to be ripping Tuukka Rask and be questioning Tuukka Rask. Sorry, wrong day for that.
But even if you're going to say and hold it to this series, what game in this series were you concerned with Rask? Seriously.
Maybe.
But you got
maybe game three.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Maybe, though.
But that's a big maybe.
How many past years could you say
game? God.
That's the one you hang on Rask. You got to actually try to talk your maybe self into it. Today's not day for that.
You're calling on the wrong day to be ripping Tuukka Rask.
That guy was a stud last night.
617-779-0985. Your thoughts on the Red Sox. Your thoughts on Gil Santos. Here's Hardy with headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Now, despite Tuukka Rask only making 31 saves last night, the Bruins beat the Maple Leafs 3-1 in Toronto to go up 3-1 in the best of seven. Honestly, David Krejci, what do you think about your goaltender? Not just last night, but, you know, in this whole series.
He's been big in every game. You know, he's keeping us in the game every single night. And, you know, we have lots of skill up front, so we put some pucks in the net. But he's been playing really well, so hopefully he can keep it up.
Yes, thank you. Bruins can, in fact, wrap up this first round series tomorrow night. Puck drops at 8 o'clock for Game 5. Saturday night at the TD Garden. Patrice Bergeron, last-minute scratch last night with an upper body injury. He is on the ice this morning at the team practice at Warrior Ice Arena. He was out there by himself skating with the Bruins skills coach. A couple of players joined him out there afterward. Celtics have a chance to go up 3-0 in Milwaukee tonight. Bucks center John Henson doubtful with back soreness. We'll get the latest from Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell. Tip-off 9:30 tonight here on 98.5. The Sports Hub, Red Sox over the Angels in Anaheim, 8-2. They will try and keep this winning streak going as they continue their road trip with the first of three against Oakland tonight. Headlines. are brought to you by WestJet Airlines. WestJet has low-fare, nonstop daily flights to Toronto. Book your flights now at WestJet.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Are they aliens? Zulak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
From Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, it's the American Football Conference Championship game between the Cinderella New England Patriots and the big bad Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm happy to report that despite all the prognostications of doom, the Patriots have shown up here today and will take the field against the Steelers.
Prognostications of doom. Despite that, they showed up to play the Steelers.
Little twist right there.
And Joey Porter?
Yeah, Joey Porter here.
Joey Porter had his bags packed for New Orleans.
People will never forget. People will forget that New England also had to make somewhat plans because that was 9/11 that year. So if they won the game, they were going to New Orleans. So it's not like they just got on a plane, went back, say, holy crap, we're going to Super Bowl. We got to hurry up and leave tomorrow. That was a shortened year.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Remember, there was the week the NFL did not play. The Joe Andruzzi, you know, running out against the Jets that next week.
Yes. Which was the game that Bledsoe got hurt in.
Yes. And this is why there were questions, was Brady going to play with the ankle? Because he got knocked out.
Because he got hurt in Pittsburgh.
I said, wow, he can't be ready in 2 weeks. He can get ready in one. He had to get ready in one. There was no bye week before the Super Bowl that year. So New England also had to kind of be preparing for the Super Bowl, too. But it added to the story. It was great. What a great call, though. Great call on that one.
Yep, that was played on January 27th, 2002, and the Super Bowl was played a week later on February 3rd. 1 week. There was no bye before the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah, but they didn't tell anybody they had to have those plans made. I mean, the players in Pittsburgh were openly talking about it.
Right.
Bags were packed, were ready to go.
I think New England's were packed and ready to go, too. They just weren't talking about it.
It was like, just in case. We got to be prepared for that.
Oh, my God. I got to hear him do laundry. I got to be ready to go.
Yes.
I got to get my shirts to the dry cleaners.
Lorraine is in New Hampshire. Hi, oh. Lorraine.
Hi, Zoe. Hi, Bertrand.
Hi.
Hi, Lorraine.
It's a sad day about Mr. Santos. I knew him, not on a real personal level, but I did get to meet him when I was in high school, way back when he broadcasted for, I believe it was WBSM in New Bedford, and I grew up in the town next door, South Dartmouth, and I used to call in.
You're a South Dartmouth girl.
Wow. To him. And I did that for quite a long time. And at one point, he invited me to come see the studio where he broadcasted from. And my mom and I went, and he was so gracious. He gave us a great tour and showed us how everything worked. And we got to see him do some of his stuff on the show that night. It was wonderful. He was a nice, nice man. And that's a long time memory of him. And he was such a passionate broadcaster for the Patriots. I loved that.
All this time, I thought you called our show first and only.
turns out not the case.
I know.
That's all right.
It was really nice. It was something to be able to meet him. And then look what happened to his wonderful career. Yeah.
Very nice story.
That's nice, Lorraine. Thank you.
Thanks, Lorraine.
That's a good one.
I like when she calls on Fridays. Feels like a Friday when she calls.
All right.
Tom is in Braintree. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. How you doing this Friday?
Hey.
I'll be quick about it because I know everybody's got stories like I do, but I'm not going to say for who or where. But for a time, I worked in the broadcasting field. I wanted to be a sports producer. I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. And my exposure to that passion of mine was listening to Gil as a young kid, as a young teenager. I remember the first full game I ever listened to, and I'm going to really date myself here, so just bear with me, was Super Bowl 38 against the Panthers. Now, I knew of him. I heard his voice before. Obviously, the infamous call in the first Super Bowl with Adam Vinatieri and the final drive with Brady, the David Patton touchdown. But the first full game I ever listened to with Gil, I refused to watch a TV because I just found his voice so fascinating, so compelling. And from that point on, at a young age, as a 12-year-old kid, I knew that in some way or another, whether it's as my career or as my hobby, sports radio, sports media is going to be at some part of my life. And I strove for that going into my teenage years, out of high school, out of college, and I would always have a chance. If I had a chance to listen to Gil over anybody on CBS or Fox or NBC, I would choose Gil over everybody else, because not only was he so passionate and enthusiastic, but he was so detailed and so on top of everything that was going on in the field. It was almost like better than the TV, because you could picture everything in your mind because he was that detailed. Two great memories of mine with him. I would, in 2007, really, and it both involved my father. The first one was week six against the Miami Dolphins in Miami, where Brady throws six touchdown passes and just lights up that Dolphins defense. My father and I are laying shingles down on the roof of my childhood home, and you know, we listening to the call, we're blaring the radio at the top of the roof, and one of the touchdown passes to Randy Moss, where Gil loses his absolute mind, and it's like, oh my, it's like he's opening a can of soup and be like, oh, here it is. Boom! And me and my father just start hysterically laughing, hugging each other, because we hated the Dolphins and we loved Gil, and it was just a great call. Fast forward a few months later, the week of Super Bowl 42 against the Giants, your sister station is playing the old Super Bowl broadcast, the first three Super Bowl wins.
Yes, that is what we did the day we launched the station here, is what we did. Do you remember that, Zell? When we launched the Sports Hub, we played the games. I think we did all three Super Bowls.
Yeah, because the Bruins did not win yet. Yeah, it was just Patriots.
Well, it was like a filler day. It was. You know, we went on the air the 13th, right? 13th of August, 2009. So it probably was the 12th.
So it was the day of a preseason game, I believe. The first day of the Sports Hub, I believe, was the day of a preseason Patriots game.
Okay.
In the morning, they played the replays of the Super Bowl games. And then Felger Maz came on at 1 o'clock, not 2 o'clock.
First live show.
They came on at 1 o'clock leading up to Patriots pregame.
Jesus.
Because we had Patriots pregame that night. But no, Zoe, I remember you and Tangway at the time weren't going to be on the air the first day because we were both doing the Patriots cover.
Right.
We came on the next day.
That's right.
And I believe DA came on after Patriots postgame overnight hours.
Choppers, right.
Until the morning started with Toucher and Rich the next day.
Excellent recollection.
Felger Maz had an unbelievable open to their show. I think they make fun of themselves for talking about how they met and where they were and all this, all the pleasantries in the world.
I remember.
It all went south after
that. Yeah, I remember. And then it was like, I don't know, probably 8 weeks later, they were like almost fist fighting one another. Well, Maz tried to fight Felger. That's a story for another day. I'm going to put that in the book. As I say, when I write the book someday on the Sports Hub, it'll be in the book. It was. So that was right. So that was the morning of August 13th, 2009. Patriots played the Eagles in the preseason that night. We played all three Super Bowls to start off the day. All three. Because you would listen to them again.
Right.
Because of what the calls were.
It was Gil. Right. And the outcome.
I don't think I've ever told this story on the air before. There was a time in my life when I got a cease and desist from CBS Radio, the company that then hired me later on.
Really?
Did I ever tell you this one?
No.
Scare the crap out of me. A cease and desist from the company that eventually would hire me. And it was all because I had recorded one of the Super Bowls. I'll explain the details to you and get more of your
serious?
Calls. Yeah, I never brought that up in the interview. Hey, remember that time you guys FedExed me a letter from your lawyers?
Oh, my God, that's right, because I read the disclaimer on the broadcast.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Snow continues to come down. Brady calling signals. The direct snap to Brady. Standing in there. Looks to the left, loses the football. It's on the ground, and let's see if it's a fumble or a pass attempt. I believe it's going to be called a fumble. It is. A fumble, and the Oakland Raiders recover at the Patriot 40, or at the Oakland 49-yard line.
After reviewing the play, the quarterback's arm was going forward. It is an incomplete.
All right. Patriots retain the ball.
talking about the passing of Gil Santos and his legendary career as a Patriots broadcaster, but not only that, a broadcaster at WBZAM, Celtics play-by-play voice at one point. Gil meant a lot to a lot of New England sports fans. 617-779-0985.
He also did the marathon. People forget that, too. You know, doing a play-by-play of the marathon, the names. And
the finish.
The finish, yes. He's did everything. He's done everything. Hosted all the events. You know, while he was still healthy, he was able to do the inductions. And I know when those guys went in, when the Willies and, you know, the Troys, that era meant so much to him. Because he did the broadcast for so long when the team was not good.
Yeah.
And you just hear the jubilation in their voice when Vinatieri hits that kick back in 2001. It was big for them. That was big for Gil. That call will stand forever.
Let's go to Casey, who's in Quincy, with a memory of Gil Santos. Hey, Casey.
Hey, guys. Obviously a very sad day for Patriot Nation. I call Gil Santos the Jim Ross of the New England Patriots. He will obviously be very missed. I remember the first time I heard his voice consciously was on the Super Bowl 36 2001 championship season DVD. The first thing I remember hearing him saying and knowing it was him was, "Good afternoon, everyone. Gil Santos along with Gino Cappelletti from the Winter Wonderland that is Foxborough Stadium." And with that sentence alone, I realized this man was basically going to be immortal if ever we won the Super Bowl. Lo and behold, 13 years later, Gil Santos is in the Patriots Hall of Fame, and rightfully so. Man, just a great voice, a great delivery, an inspiration to so many people.
All right, Casey, appreciate the call. Appreciate your thoughts on Gil. Mark is in Brookline with a thought on Gil as well. Mark.
Hey, guys. First of all, you guys did an awesome, awesome job today with the tribute. I sat in my car and listened to that, and I got to be honest, it got a little dusty thinking of Gil and all those great calls he made.
And if you missed that, just quickly, Mark, for anyone who missed that, we'll have that again at 12:20.
Awesome, awesome. That 2001 call with Vinatieri making the kick for the first Super Bowl win, I actually downloaded the audio from that call from Napster and had that thing on my playlist, and I would play it at parties.
Is that right?
I would just sneak it in between stuff, and the whole party would go bananas just listening to Gil's voice again. So, I mean, he's going to be missed, and, hey, good luck to him wherever he may be.
All right, Mark, appreciate the call. So here's the story.
Speaking of Napster and things you can download and you can't.
I want to grab a couple of calls before we got to this.
Yeah, what happened to young Mark Bertrand?
So this didn't happen for 36, despite I think I did record the Super Bowl for 36, but it was 38 and 39. I was in college. I was trying to call football games at UMass, and I wanted to do nothing more than mimic Gil Santos, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to be him. And so I would record a lot of games and listen to them and try and pick things up along the way.
Right.
Right? Things that he would do because he, to me, was the best. And so when it came to the Super Bowls, I made sure I got whole game, you know, start to finish. This is a big game. Want to make sure you record the entire game start to finish. And I did that for Super Bowls 38 and 39. And I had copies of the games. And I had, somewhere along the line, someone knew that I had a copy of it and said, you know, there's a lot of people that would probably want a copy of that. I thought, really? Do you think there's anybody else out there that would want on a CD, a copy of the Patriot? Like, I don't know. Is you think someone might want that? And he's like, you know, maybe you could find someone else that wants it. I'm thinking, you know what?
Here we go.
Maybe I should. I've got, $6 to my name as a college kid. Maybe I'll throw a copy of this up on eBay, see if it sells. Oh, it sold. It sold. And then I got emails from people saying, can you make me one? Can you make me a copy? And I ended up selling like 10 of them, Zoe.
Shut up.
For probably $50 a piece. It was stupid money for a burn CD. And sure as bleep, there I was sitting in my dorm room, John Adams Tower at UMass, and I get a FedEx in a dorm room. And you're thinking, well, what is this? From a lawyer's office, I think in New York.
Well, yeah, that's where it goes.
And I was like,
sure.
What is this thing? What did I do?
You did a no-no, Beetle.
Yeah, it was a cease and desist.
Right.
Obviously, from a lawyer saying, hey, idiot, you don't have the rights to do that. You must destroy all copies. You must send us any copies you have. And I had to mail back burnt CDs. I'm like, take it all. Take it all. Take the CDs. Put them in a FedEx envelope and shipped it back, signing a form saying that I agree and that their statements were correct, that I had illegally, you know, ripped off the
right.
radio station, and
well,
that I would never again do that, and that I was a bad boy. And I'm like, again, they're going to sue me. This thing says they could sue me. They didn't sue me. They just wanted me to stop.
Down to the 30. He's going to be to midfield.
Yeah.
He's at the 50. He could go all the way here. He's at the 30. He's got one man to beat, and he'll be knocked out of bounds at the 12-yard line. Steve Baylor.
Whoa. Now that's Santos.
Where's that from?
Where'd you get that one from?
Did I give you that at some point?
Had to.
I didn't know you had that.
Yeah, I don't get rid of anything.
I know you don't.
It's great.
Takes the snap. He's going to look down the middle of the field, and it's going to be complete to Bradley Storty, the big tight end, the big target, big gain. He's big. In a UNH territory.
Big.
So,
big game, big target.
I got in trouble. I got a cease and desist from CBS Radio, and then about 5 years, 6 years later, I got a job there.
That's great. I do the in-game read for that. without the express written consent, the National Football
didn't have
League,
express written
the
consent.
Sports Hub, or the Patriots is prohibited.
I did not have express written consent.
I thought you were going to say in 5 or 6 years they were destroying tapes.
No, they were as well. Yeah. Yeah. But the Napster thing, that could have come. That may have been my doing as well. I'm not exactly sure. Not exactly sure what happened there. Yep. 617-779-0985. Gary is in Boston. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, Gary.
Hey, I had the opportunity to work with Gil at BZ AM, and he was just the sweetest guy in the world, nicest, so professional. But I also left BZ Radio, took a job with the Boston Breakers, the USFL team, United States Football League team, and I was PR director there for a while. Did such a good job, they moved to New Orleans. But anyway, they were really legitimized. We were legitimized when Gil and Gino were the play-by-play guys. And I remember being in the office that day, the Breakers office, when, you know, that was finalized, that those guys were going to be the play-by-play team. And we just felt awesome about that because we had the premier play-by-play team in football, that they were going to be doing our games, and it was just such a thrill for us. And you know, everybody who's been on the air and talking about him has said the same thing. Couldn't meet a nicer guy, you know, true professional, and one of the guys who's at the top of his game. So it's just it's so sad. It's a sad day, but I'm just very grateful that I had the chance to know him and that I had the chance to listen to him. As I'm sure you guys are.
Absolutely. Good call.
Automatic legitimacy. And I know people have been talking about this, but this is the one thing that kind of resonates with me, too, is like all the years when the Patriots were bad, you still had a world-class voice and talent calling your games.
Yeah, when you could not watch them on TV.
Yeah, sorry, Zoe.
But, well, we were very bad.
You couldn't watch on TV.
Well, you literally couldn't watch them, but even if you were just listening to them, it's, you know, it was kind of like having, you know, the movie guy do the trailer for a junk movie. It's like, well, it can't be all that bad. You've got the, you know, one of the best voices in the world, one of the best guys at the game involved with it. This isn't a completely horrible product. I mean, in a lot of ways, he's responsible for helping sustain that team through some very lean years.
Well, I also think the Patriots are now at a point where it's appointment viewing, and they have been for a long time now, but it's at the point where you tell someone, no, I can't do whatever it is you're asking me to do on Sunday because the Patriots are on. And that's now an acceptable answer to your friends, to your family, to your wife. No, we're not doing that, honey. The Patriots kick off at 1 p.m., and that's what we're doing.
Birthday parties, games,
yes.
Whatever. They get scheduled around that.
People will schedule around those games. At that point in time, the Patriots were not important enough for people to even factor that in. Right? No, we've got things to do on Sunday in and around the house. We've got this project we're working on. We've got this place to go. And so when they were not as good and you couldn't set the appointment for them, that's when you could catch. Well, you know what? I'm going to catch what I can on the radio.
Yeah, you hear his voice.
At a time when radio was certainly more important than it is now.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to say that. I don't think any of us are.
No.
But it was a much bigger deal. The further back in time you go, the bigger the deal radio was.
You had to tune in just to get scores and stuff. You couldn't. There was no internet. There was no phones. Well, there was nothing.
Yeah, but for a lot of reasons. For the fact that, you know, okay, radio and play-by-play may have been a bigger deal just by itself. But fewer outlets, fewer options. Beal, you said it. Blacked out games. If you want to know what was going on, you had to listen to the radio, you know? And look, turning down the sound on the TV and turning up the radio used to be easier without all these different digital delays and platforms and all that stuff. But one of the reasons why people were doing that, at least around here, is because of Gil Santos, that voice. And it was not just the pipes, but the call.
That's what you hear.
And his knowledge of the game, everything about it. Him and Gino doing the games together. You would rather listen to that, and it was a little bit easier to do back then. But no, that was your absolute preference. Just turn it on. There you go.
Headlines, 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're on to the noontime hour. If you missed the tribute and montage to Gil Santos, we will have that again coming up at 12:20.